Welcome to Greek Club, the international sensation. Hosted on the iTunes U website at Concordia Cemetery, St. Louis, Missouri. And known throughout the world by probably dozens of people. Right? Yeah, yeah.
I heard Mel on it last
week. That's right. The faithful remnants listens to Greek and Hebrew Club. That's right.
Nothing better to do.
Yeah, because they have nothing better to do. Thank you for that vote of confidence. We are in Matthew.
As long as you're clock, tell them how you can access it.
Oh, you can access it by going to the www.csl.edu website. On the bottom right, click on iTunes U. And then if you have to download the free software, you can do that. And then that'll bring up the music store. And there's an icon for Hebrew Club and an icon for Greek Club. Right?
Or Concordia Theology.
Or ConcordiaTheology.org. Right. By the way, the managing editor of ConcordiaTheology.org is Dr. Tim Seleska, who deserves all the money you send him. He prefers denominations of 20 or higher. We're in Matthew chapter 5. We're reading the Sermon on the Mount. And we are, I believe, at verse 31. So I'd like to announce in advance that we're not going to do any exegesis or theology here, nor answer the questions about marriage and divorce, but we're just going to read Greek. Okay, verse 31. And this is the third item in the first pattern of three. The Sermon on the Mount is largely structured around threes, and we've had in verse 21, you've heard that it was said to the old ancient people. Verse 27, you heard that it was said. And now in verse 31, Erethede hasan apoluse ten ginaika autu, dato aute apostasia, ego de lego humin, hati pasha apoluon ten ginaika autu par ectos lugu porneas, poie autain moichuthenai, kai hasean apalelumenain gamese moichatai. The grammar is not too hard here. Start again with the aorist passive indicative of lego. And it was said, now hus on, so a conditional relative clause, whoever, followed by the subjunctive, aorist subjunctive of apoluo, which can and does in this context mean divorce, to send away, dismiss. Whoever divorces the wife of the woman of him or his wife. Now we get the verb dutto, which is Gibbs's 12th rule is if you see a little word with a delta in it and you think it might be a verb, it's from ditto me. Okay? And that's what we have here. The aorist imperative active third singular. You might recognize the toe ending as a third singular imperative ending. Let whoever divorces his wife give to her. And in this context, the noun apostasia means a writ of divorce. Interestingly, the Mishnah, this sort of fundamental document of post-AD 70 Judaism, has a quote that gives the text of a get, as it's apparently called, a writ of divorce. And they've actually, at Masada, I'm told, have actually dug up a writ of divorce. I mean, so you have an original text in this regard. So that's kind of interesting. This is what you've heard, Jesus says. Now he's going to give the authoritative interpretation. By the way, on the sign margin, just a little bit of exegesis here. Deuteronomy 24:1 and following. This is the only passage in the Torah, I think, that talks about divorce. And it's not actually talking about it. What it's doing is it's forbidding a woman to remarry her first husband. Really, just look at Deuteronomy 24. It's interesting that that Judaism built this huge edifice about regulations for divorce on this one verse, which isn't actually even talking about what they wanted to talk about. It's an interesting example, in some ways, at least, of grasping at straws. Grammatically, it's not too bad, just an imperative. Let him give to her a writ of divorce. Verse 32, but I say to you, ego, emphatic, that pas ha apoluon, now we have the articular or the substantized participle, right, the present participle of apoluo. Everyone who divorces the wife of him, par ektos means apart from, and or except for, a word of fornication, we'll just translate it that way, or a matter of fornication. Now we get the main verb, makes her to be adulterated. We give the passive infinitive a passive force there, which I think we can probably do. And then the verse continues, and hos e'on, which is the same as hos on. Sometimes you just get e'on there. And whoever, now the verb is gamese from gameo, which means to marry. It's the aorist subjunctive. You can see the weak stem sigma. And then the long connecting vowel is buried in that eta at the end. Whoever marries apolelumenein. This is the perfect participle from apoluo. It's feminine singular accusative, and even though there's no article on it, we take it as a substantive. The having been divorced one, or the woman who has been divorced. Now that person, if he does that, moikatai, this is the morphology is a little flexible here. This is probably a present indicative passive. You can see the middle passive ending, my, sai, tai. And it probably has an active intransitive meaning, even though it's passive in form, commits adultery. Okay. Of course, great questions about the meaning and the application of these words, but the grammar is relatively straightforward. You have some interesting variant readings, by the way, that show a flexibility whether you're using moicha'o or moicheu'o. But again, I don't think too much hinges upon that. Questions about verse 31 and 32? Grammatical or syntactical questions about verses 31 and 32? Anybody?
In logos there, does logos in Greek normally have that idea of a matter, or do you think that's a substantive?
The question is, does logos, can it readily take the meaning of matter or, you know, affair? I think it can, actually. And Jesus is probably referring to the Deuteronomy passage. Literally, there the phrase, oddly enough, Tim, you can help me out here, I think it's the uncleanness of a word. If you divorce her for the uncleanness of a word. And so the word order is actually different. And there's this big debate in Judaism between the schools of Hillel and the schools of Shammai and all that kind of stuff, but that would take us too far afield. See a recently published commentary for a superficial treatment of the subject. An orthodox but superficial treatment. So,
what color is that commentary?
It's blue. Yeah, it's blue. Yeah, blue. Right. What color is that commentary?
That's good.
That's right. Smart Alec. I'm surrounded by smart Alec. Well, I deserve far worse. Any other questions? Okay, let's press forward. Now we get to the second triad of teaching about the true meaning of Torah, pollen, verse 33. Pollen ekusata hati, erethe tois archaios, uk epiorkeses, apadoses de, to kirio tus horkus su. Again, you heard that it was said to the ancient people, right? So that's familiar, not too hard. Now we have epi or ke'o. I believe this is the only time this particular verb occurs in the New Testament. It means to swear an oath, and it's a future indicative active second person singular. Epi or ke'o. You may remember on the epsilon contract verbs, once you leave the present stem, the epsilon typically lengthens to eta. Then you add the sigma to get the stem. So epi or case is the future stem, and then ace is just o ace a, right? So it's just future indicative active, second person singular. So you will not swear an oath, and here with an imperatival force, which is easy to do in Greek. But pay to the Lord your vows.
What vows?
Horkus at the end.
What so, is a curio?
To the Lord.
Oh, yep,
that's all right. The date of singular of Lord, Right. The vows of you. So two future indicatives. Apodoses is also future indicative, active, second singular, and they just mean they're imperatives. Don't do this, do this. And so this is, yeah. See, part of the context here, not like the matter of divorce, is there's an entire section in the Mishnah on what's the proper way to swear oaths. You know, what time of day, what wording you have to use, if you do it on a Sabbath. I mean, it's this elaborate structure. And we can't be sure that all of the Mishnaic material, you know, applies to the time of Jesus, but, you know, certainly you've got a running start on that kind of thinking. So Jesus seems to be penetrating to, again, we're doing theology here, I guess, a little bit, to, you know, don't worry so much about picking nits, you know, just realize what's important about words, right? And that, I think, is what he's about to say in verse 34, so... it reminds me of a joke, but that'll take too long to tell. Grammatically, it's okay. Anything on verse 33? All right. Great. Is it possible to open a window in here?
That is possible.
Bill, is that? I personally am hot.
Yes,
you are. Oh, you are hot.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's right. I think we'll do verse 34 now. Ego de lego himi me hamasai holos. Let's see, this is a long sentence now. Well, we'll just do the whole thing. Meta en to urano, hatithranas esten tu theu. Meta en te ge, hatihippopadion esten ton panonautu. Meta es Yerosalima, hatipolis esten tu megalu basileos. Meta en te kephale su hamoses. Hati u dinasai mian chicha loi kain poiesai e melainon. That's a long sentence. Verse 34. But I say to you, now we actually have hamasoi as an aorist infinitive, and it's acting to express indirect discourse. Okay. But I say to you that you not swear at all, or woodenly. I say to you not to swear at all, completely. And now Jesus sort of elaborates on what that is. Not to swear, and he doesn't repeat the verb hamasoi. We just get meta, 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 right? So not in or by heaven, because it is God's throne. Without going into it too much, this is probably an example of Caldwell's rule, because the subject is it, probably, heaven, and thronos is the predicate nominative. But because it's in front of the linking verb, you don't have the article. Does this mean anything? No. That's why we're not going to puzzle over it too much. It is the throne of God, nor to swear, repeat the infinitive, in or by the earth, because, again, it is the footstool of his feet, nor unto, probably not any difference in meaning, I don't think, between ace and n here, nor unto Jerusalem, because it is the city of the great king. And given the parallelism with God before, this is probably refers to God and not David, or something like that. Nor, and now we break the pattern here. We get the 1, 2, 3, 4th meta. But now we actually get a verb. Meta ente kephale su hamases. Now we actually get the aorist subjunctive of the verb to swear. Nor swear by your head. Why? Because u dunasai. Do you remember when you first learn your middle passive endings? You learn my a tie. But in parenthesis is sai. And sometimes you see that. So it's actually, this is actually just the present indicative, active, second person singular of dunamai. Dunamai, dunasai, dunatai. Because you are not able, what are you not able? When you have dunamai, you're looking for an infinitive. Four words down, there it is, poiesai. To make. You are not able to make Now come back and get Neon Tricha, one hair, to be Loikane, a Melinon, white or black. And if you just remember melanoma, which is, you know, this black dot on your skin that's skin cancer, Melinon means black. And leukemia, right? Is too many white blood cells, isn't that right?
Mm.
Yeah, so that's how you can remember white and black in Greek, is leukemia and melanoma, right? That's a cheerful way to remember
it.
Forms of cancer, sorry about that. Yeah.
Which one's black?
Loikane is white from leukemia, right? Too many white blood cells. And melanoma is very dark black skin cancer, I think, which can kill you. But if you die and you're baptized and believe in Jesus, you'll rise from the dead. There, I got eschatology. So that's good. So we get this long sentence. Don't swear, and then meta. And the reason why. In other words, you're not that important, and your words aren't that important. That's kind of the deal, I think. Josh, go ahead. And then,
back on verse 34.
Yes?
Does the infinitive ever stand in for the imperative?
The question is, in verse 34, does the infinitive stand for an imperative? I can't think of an example in the New Testament.
I can't think of this one.
Yeah, that one, right. Yeah, I prefer, and I know, I thought, of all people, Josh, this would make you happy, to take this as an infinitive of indirect discourse.
Well, Lego always takes hot.
What?
Lego takes hot. That's why...
Well, it can, but it can also take an infinitive of indirect discourse, I think. So, why don't you work up a 2-page paper on it?
I might.
Yeah, I know you might. That's what I'm saying. I promise you a footnote. Yeah, right. If it's good. Let's see, Mel, I think. No comment?
No.
Okay, yeah, Kefi?
Can you read that verse through real quick again?
Which one?
36.
36, yes. In English or Greek?
Yes. English.
Okay. Nor swear by your head, and the verb is hamases, because you are not able to make one hair white or black. Now don't criticize the words of Jesus now, Kevin. It sounds, well, in other words, don't put so much emphasis upon your own words. Again, there was this, to us, this insane emphasis upon how to swear an oath and what time of day you should swear an oath and who has to be present when you swear an oath.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Just reading, again, this, it's an entire tractate in the Mishnah on the proper way to swear oaths. See? It's kind of, I mean, I hope we don't make anybody mad on this. It's kind of like I was taken to task one time by a guy because I wasn't holding my fingers right when I was making the sign of the cross in the liturgy. You know? And I don't think I smacked him. Although if I did, I hope I was holding my fingers right. You know? And I'm a big fan of the liturgy. I mean, I think that, you know, some congregations are selling their heritage for a mess of pottage, for crying out loud, but going with all the silly stuff, you know, like the Protestants do. But that was a little editorial comment. Let's finish the paragraph, and then
I have a question.
Tom, go ahead. Yeah.
Hey, Tepele Sue.
Yes.
Is Greek happy to leave out the Sue?
It can, yes. Especially with a body part. Yep. Yeah, you could just say by the head. Right. Yep. You could leave out the pronoun Sue.
I like that Kephale word.
Yeah. Kephale. That's right. Okay, moving to verse 37, and then we'll be done. Now here's the antidote. Don't do this. Verse 37 is the positive teaching, right? Esto de halagas humon nai uu tada perison tuton ek tu poneru estin. So esto is the imperative from ame. Again, you see the to ending. At least that might help you see that it's an imperative. Third person singular. The subject is logos, nominative. So let the word of you, plural, let your word be yes, yes, no, no, and or but. Perissos is an adjective. It means abundant. And here it probably has a comparative sense, anything more. So the more thing of these, and we can translate it more, the thing which is more than these is ek tu paniru, either from evil or, perhaps more likely, from the evil one, that is, from Satan. So again, a third person imperative, and then a simple clause with the linking verb at the end. Good. Questions about verse 37? Grammatical.
I just had one about
Will.
36. That,
yeah.
Amosis.
Yes.
That comes from the irregular verb omnimi.
Yes, right? It comes from omnimi.
And
right.
This is a subjunctive aorist imperative. Is that what, or no, subjunctive aorist. What is it?
It's aorist subjunctive active second singular.
Aorist subjunctive.
It would be amaso, amases, amase.
So it's prohibition here.
No. May plus the aorist subjunctive prohibition. Okay. Right. Good. Kevin?
Nai nai u u.
Yes.
In Greek, do they sometimes, after they repeat words to show emphasis?
That's a good question. The question is the yes and no repeated for emphasis? I don't know the answer to that question. Yeah, it could be the case, but I don't know enough about those little words to answer it. So,
does Greek do that sometimes? Or am I wrong?
Not that I'm aware of, but that doesn't mean it's not the case. It's just a question that I can't answer.
They did it in Hebrew, do you know? I know it flexes my ear, but...
Repeating words for emphasis, Tom, in Hebrew?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. All right. On that note of professorial ignorance, we'll just push the button and stop. Lectionary lunch tomorrow, Hebrew Club on Thursday.